me. Father, we love you. Thank you that you call us your own. And thank you that you've given your Son for us. That we can say, each one of us, Jesus is mine. I choose to follow. I choose to be like him, to become like him, to follow in his footsteps and day after day, make that my life. Father, as a church today, we come that you would be glorified in us and through us. This is our prayer. As we open your word, Father, open our minds and our hearts and speak to us. Meet us each one at the point of our need. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat real quick. Pastor Dave is coming to share God's word with us. He and Beth Limmer have been pastors in Wyoming for about 150 years. They started a church out in Casper that their son has now stepped into leadership of, their son Justin, who's actually going to be here sharing with us about 7 weeks. And so this morning, would you please welcome Pastor Dave.
Always great to be in the house of the Lord. Who we are, amen? Woo! God is good all the time. He is good. Amen. Well, you know, it's been a couple months since I've been here. I kind of missed you guys. Last time I had to drive home in a blizzard over the pass. So, of course, they only closed I-80 a few times this winter, right? You know, as they had to tunnel through. But, hey, the roads were clean and green, not a bit of snow on the road. Saw a lot of snow, but not a lot on the road. I was thankful. Well, it's good to be here with you. And, of course, I just want to reiterate and just encourage you that you be praying for your pastor, for Michael and Christy, and that you would just celebrate what God has been doing in your midst. And that these are days that God is preparing to do something greater than we know. Please understand, he is going to do something greater than we imagine in Rock Springs, Wyoming. Amen? And you know what? We're a part of it. We're a part of what he's going to do because we're part, you know, our part is you know, sometimes it's like, well, I just don't feel like I fit or I don't belong or, you know, everybody else is so much more spiritual. And we're always going to find excuses why we don't want to really just give it all to Jesus and go for it. But the reality is that you the part you play is significant in the church. And the church is significant in the city. Understand, there's a lot of great churches in Rock Springs that are preaching the gospel, and we're thankful for every one of them. Bless the Lord. But our part, ordinary faith has a part in that. We have a part on the wall. And just want to encourage you, you know, it's like when Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem, was building the wall around Jerusalem, it's interesting that if we read through there, and I think it's chapter 3, it says that it just talks about each family and each son and each part of a clan and just even sometimes individuals that took part in building the wall. And each part had a significant place that they were building, even if it was a smaller area. And so I just want to encourage you that just like that, the church today is building, it is building a spiritual edifice, Peter says. It's building something that is bigger than we know. And God is up to something greater than we know as well. And so our part, ordinary faith, their part in building what God's doing in Rock Springs is significant. We're not the only one, but see, we're one people. Doesn't matter if the gospel's going forth and Jesus Christ is Lord, then we are one people with that testimony. And so our part on the wall for us as a family, see, ordinary faith is a family. And we're on a journey together to see God do what he wants to do through us. Amen? Okay. Now, you know, I grew up in Wyoming on a ranch. I'm kind of just, plowboy. But Not really plowboy. I say plowboy. I don't know where I ever got that. I think I only pulled a plow one time. When I was a kid, with a tractor, mind you, not. And but, you know, I was horseback a whole lot more. But, you know, I love the state, but I believe God wants to bring a revival across this state like we've never seen. He wants to ignite a fire in every town across the state. He wants to do something that is so extraordinary that it would be exponential across the nation. And sometimes, you know, we're always waiting for it to happen somewhere else. Well, let's just believe for what God wants to do right here. Amen? All right. Did you look in the mirror this morning and smile at yourself? Some of you didn't look in the mirror, did you? All right. Well, hey, you know, Pastor Michael was talking about this whole area of distraction and working through that. And the aspect that if we don't get focused, it's easy to get pulled into where the world has squeezed us into the mold it wants. You know, I think he said something about most average person spends 4 hours a day on their phone. That's unbelievable. Isn't it? 4 hours a day? I don't know who he's listening to. You know, it's those guys that do those surveys. You know, you don't know how many people they ask. 3? You know? I don't know. I don't know where they get that stuff. Or watch TV for 4 hours. Now, maybe that, I can see that. But it's amazing how easily we are squeezed into the mold of the world. And yet, Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says, listen, don't be squeezed into the world's mold, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might know what is the good and pleasing and perfect will of God. So there's a need for us to have our minds renewed so that there is a transformation that follows. So the Word of God always going forth is always going to bring forth transformation if we'll receive it. If we'll receive it. Amen? Excuse me. Probably coughing in the wrong spot there, isn't it? Like, woo! All right. Well, yeah, I've been fighting a little crud this week, so you'll bear with me. I'll try not to let that bother me too much. So here's the thing. Pastor Michael talked about the way to get through distraction is the aspect of getting your focus and staying focused and then finding presence and getting into the presence of God and walking in a place of where you set time for Him. Well, I want to talk about this aspect, and Pastor Steve talked about it already, about the glorious church, Christ's glorious church. And because you see, Jesus is birthing something that's so amazing. And sometimes we settle in and it's like, well, we go to a meeting and we think that's it. No, listen, the church is something that's an organism. It's dynamic. It's moving in the earth. Faith moves us beyond where we are today. You see, God is always moving us forward. So I want to talk about that aspect. Jesus said this. He said, I will build my church. I will build my church. And it's interesting to me because when God created Adam and Eve, when he created Adam, it says that he formed him out of the dust of the earth, and then he breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And it's interesting that because of Adam's sin, of course, it plunged the whole of humanity into a place of where we took on the nature of the devil and we became sinners at that point. But Jesus Christ came, and the rescue plan was that he would bring a transformation. It's not just a rescue out of, it's a transformation into.
That's right.
See, because Jesus didn't just come to snatch us out of this situation. He says, no, I'm going to come and transform you in the midst of your situation, in the midst of the world, in the midst of everything the devil has done. I'm going to transform you and change you there. And then I'm going to build something in the earth that the enemy, the devil himself, cannot stop.
Right.
You see, and so here's what happened on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit. And in fact, it's interesting because in John chapter 20, Jesus shows back up after the resurrection in the upper room. And he says, he comes in the upper room and he says that he said, peace be to you. And he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Interesting. Receive the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you, if you're thinking, feeling sorry for me, and you have coughed up, I've got one in, so don't bring it. So here's the thing. Jesus, once again, just like with Adam, he breathed into his church. He birthed the church with his breath. The Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and started something that the devil cannot stop. Scripture says this, right? Excuse me. It goes on and it's so good because Jesus says this, Matthew 16:18. He says, now I say to you, and he's speaking to Peter, and we'll talk about this a little bit more. He says to you, Peter, that which means rock, Petros, and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the power of hell will not be able to conquer it or stop it. All the power of hell will not be able to stop what I am birthing. And I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden in heaven. And whatever you permit on earth will be permitted in heaven. Now, that's an interesting way of saying it. Of course, that's a new living. But it's interesting to me when he says, whatever you forbid will be forbidden. Whatever you permit will be permitted. And so even as Pastor Michael was talking about this aspect of your time and the busyness and so on, you see, whatever you're permitting is what you're living in. See, sometimes we tolerate this thing about being so overwhelmed, so depressed, so discouraged. So we permit that. Listen, Jesus Christ died for you to not live in discouragement.
That's right.
See? And so the question is, Jesus said, listen, I'm going to build my church. And hell can't stop it.
Right.
Hell can't stop it. The gates of hell, he said, will not prevail, will not stop or prevail against my church. Now understand that gates, you ever seen gates moving? You guys, everybody out there? You got to get that attitude. Remember that Wyoming attitude? Come on, we got to get hold of that. Listen, whatever you permit is going to get hold of you. Well, here's the thing. See, sometimes we think hell is chasing us. Oh, no. No, no. It says that the church is going to penetrate, is going to push through the gates of hell. Hell's gates can't stop the church. It is glorious. It is awesome. So we need to understand, listen, he's going to do something bigger than we know. It's interesting that the word church, ecclesia, the word ecclesia literally means called out ones or those having family origin. It's interesting. Those that are pulled out, chosen by God, God's whole. And the word comes from the word ek, which is ek, means origin or from family. Sorry, I was doing pretty good yesterday. I don't know. You got me talking here. So here's the thing with that. We'll set it up here so it's a little closer. Sometimes people say, well, the church isn't what it's supposed to be. Or everybody wants it to be different than what it is. And they're always trying to shift it. Well, let me just tell you this. The Holy Spirit birthed it. And he's the one that's building it. And we can criticize and point the finger all we want to. But I'm just saying, Jesus is going to build his church. And we are the ones that are called into it. We're the called out ones. We're the righteous ones. He's chosen us. Look at your neighbor and say, he's chosen us. Oh, go ahead. Come on. Come on. You guys are so quiet. Yeah, he chose us. Jesus says this, you didn't choose me, I chose you. I chose you. Every one of us here, Jesus Christ chose you. And sometimes we say, well, we chose. Yeah, you chose to follow. But he chose you first. Amen? All right. I'm going to have to get this cough out of the way. Can you turn me off just a minute? Not yet. Not yet. Here, I got it. I turned myself off. Wow. Go figure that. All right. So here's the thing. Jesus says, I'm going to build my church. And he says, you know, the gates of hell will not withstand it. It's not going to stop. The forces of hell will not overpower it, will not stop it, will not be able to conquer it. There's nothing that can stop the church. How many of you know that sometimes the enemy can get us backed in a corner to where we kind of feel like we're overwhelmed and get overcome. But listen, just because you feel that way at times, okay, and Pastor Michael talked about it a little bit with this whole thing of distraction, just because you feel that way a little bit at times doesn't mean that the church is not still winning.
That's right.
See, because you're not by yourself. You may be needing some R&R. Pastor Michael's on some time away. Praise God. It's awesome. Pray for him in this season. Even as Steve mentioned, it's going to be hard for him to decompress, to unwind. I understand that. Here's the thing. See, when we get overwhelmed, there's others around us that are not. But we're in this together. This is family.
Yep.
We're in this together. We're family. And so we have to understand that because the family is moving forward, I'm moving forward, even though I don't feel like I'm moving forward. We need to understand that. And so I want to pick this up a little bit and talk about it. I'm going to jump ahead a little bit, but it's interesting because Jesus says this to Peter. He said, when he asks this question, he says, who do you say that I am? And Jesus, or Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said this, he said, flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father in heaven showed you that. In other words, you just tapped in to what Father's doing. You just heard heaven, okay? You just heard what the Father's speaking. And it's kind of like a high five time for Peter. It's like, whoo, Peter, way to go, man, you heard heaven. You know, usually you're talking out of your head, but you just heard God speak here. Wow, good job. And he ministers to him. But then he says this, right? And on this stone, I'm gonna change your name to Petros. And on this stone, okay, Petros is a stone. That I'm changing you, Peter. I'm making you different. You're going to have a different system inside you. But then he goes on and he says, but on this rock, Petra, I'm going to build my church. And some people have said, well, he's talking to Peter. No, he's talking about where he's taking the church. He said, I'm going to build a church. And that's the bedrock. The word rock there, Petra, is the bedrock. Peter is just a piece of it. It's interesting because in Isaiah, he says this, 51 verse 1. He said, listen to me, all you who pursue righteousness, you who seek the Lord, look at the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were dug. In other words, every one of us in Christ, we are cut from the bedrock of Jesus Christ. Every one of us can say, I'm a stone. I'm a part of the rock. I am in him. I am in Christ Jesus. And so Jesus, when he makes that statement to Peter, you know, and he says, I'm going to build my church, hell cannot stop it. So I want to talk about the aspect that Jesus Christ is the head of his church. Okay? And it's interesting because in Ephesians 4:15, he said, he's quoting this scripture. He says, instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of the body, even his church. And so anytime it talks about the body, it's talking about the church. It's one and the same. There's no distinction. And he goes on there and he says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. In other words, it's not that Jesus is controlling or manipulating, but he is leading and setting course. And he goes on, he says, he is the savior of his body, the church. And so when we talk about church, understand that Jesus Christ is the head. See? I mean, sometimes, you know, you look at pastors and leaders and so on, and we kind of have an idea that they're up here. But no, you understand, Jesus Christ is the head. He is the one that is setting the course. Goes on. And the aspect, it's interesting because, excuse me, it says that the church is to submit to Christ the same way that the wife would honor and submit to her own husband. And the word submit there means hypostasis or hypotasis and tasso. And that word hypotasso is interesting because the word hupo means to come under and lift. Hupo, come under and lift or support, encourage. And the interesting thing is tasso is to arrange or to assign in an orderly manner. Isn't it interesting for every family? Somebody in your home has an element of wanting things in order. Ever had any discussions about that? Yeah. Well, you keep your side of the room and I'll keep mine. Okay. But see, it's assigning in an orderly manner. It's wanting things to be in a place. Sometimes we think of submission as being a doormat. That is not what submission is. Submission is to come alongside and support and encourage and build. Submission is the aspect of choosing to come alongside and encourage someone, to come up under and build them into what God wants to do. And so it's interesting to me in James 4:7 that he says, listen, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Sometimes, you see, we are trying to resist the devil. We're trying to push him back. But the key to winning the victory with the devil is this. It's submitting to God first. Because if you're submitted, if you're under Christ and you're supporting, you're undergirding with what he is doing, you understand the devil's not going to mess with you there. He can't. See, and so sometimes we're trying to resist when Jesus says, just submit and he'll go away. Yep. He's going to quit bothering you. Just submit. And so our focus has to come into a place of where Jesus is the focus of what we're going to do. And it goes on there. I want to talk about this aspect of Jesus building his church because the reality is the church is a body on the earth, and that it is what Jesus has birthed. He breathed on him, and he is bringing it forth, and so he's building it. And it's not going to be stopped, not only from the enemy, but it's not going to be stopped by us either.
That's right.
See? And there's all kinds of criticism out there towards different elements of the church. And it's interesting that the infighting against each other is amazing to me. Because it's like, listen, where do we get off on saying that we know everything that God's doing? I mean, here again, we have different families, different cultures, different things. It says that around the throne, every culture, every people, every ethnic group in the world is going to be around the throne in heaven. Hallelujah. That's going to be glorious. And the church is so much bigger than what we think. And it's like every family has its own unique elements, right? Every family. I mean, you have things that you do that other families don't do the same, right? Yeah. And so it is with the church. The church has elements that it does that doesn't do like anybody else. But it's just so interesting because sometimes we think that everybody's supposed to look like us. Now, I know you guys don't think that, right? You don't think that. But it's like, well, they should believe like I believe. They should do what I do, you know. But Jesus is building, it's so massive that he allows every person to find their place and fit into a family exactly where they're at. But here's the thing. See, he's not only the head of the church, but he's building it. He is establishing it in righteousness. And so I want to encourage you that he is growing us up. Acts chapter 2, verse 46. It's interesting because it says, this is what the church was birthed into. And it says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. Goes on down there in 45 and 46, says, every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex and broke bread from house to house, eating their food with joy and with a humble attitude. Now, here's the thing. When Jesus birthed the church, they immediately devoted themselves and gave themselves to seeing something happen. And I want to encourage you, in these days, as Pastor Michael's out for these next couple of months, I just encourage you to devote yourself to follow through with even what he talked about last couple of weeks in this aspect of setting your focus on Jesus Christ, pressing into him, making time to find presence. Because in that, he's going to grow you up. And as you grow up, the church is going to be benefited as a whole. See, because we all have a part in what God's building in Rock Springs, Wyoming. And so he wants to move us all. He wants to grow us all up in ways that we haven't experienced yet. And sometimes it's like, well, I'm born again. And I go to services on Sunday. Woohoo! But listen, Jesus Christ has so much more for you. See, because the church is a force to be reckoned with. Hell can't stop the church. It'll mess with you and me. The devil messes with us. And he'll try to stop the church. But listen, the church prevails. And so here, as the church moves, all of us, even on our worst day, are moving forward. And there's days when there's difficulty and tragedy and crisis hit and we're dealing with stuff all the time. But listen, Jesus Christ is building something. And so when we work this thing together, it's amazing what he has taken us into. And so, he says, listen, devote yourself, put on, choose to put on that aspect of teaching or instruction, of fellowship together, getting together, spending time together, breaking bread from house to house. Says that they were meeting each other's houses. Now, you don't have a lot of that today. It's amazing to me how used to be people got together in each other's houses quite often. Now, we can be in each other's house and sitting right across from each other and texting each other. Wow. That's amazing. Maybe more with the teenagers than some of us older people, right? But see, there's an aspect of needing each other. We need to encourage one another. I won't ask a question, but it's easy for us to get overwhelmed with things. With, you know, Michael talked about busyness, you know, and it steals that aspect of our devotion. But it's like, it's easy to get busy. It's easy to get overwhelmed. It's easy to feel like, man, I can't keep up with all of this stuff. But here's the thing. He is building, he is growing his church, and he is equipping it. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, he says this. He says, the responsibility of apostles and prophets, pastors and teachers, evangelists, their responsibility is to equip God's people to do the work and to build up the church, the body of Christ. They are to build, to encourage, to help you grow into who you are in Christ. See? Now here's the thing. Your identity is in Christ. But the reality is that he wants you to discover who you are. Not only, yeah, I'm a Christian. No, he wants you to know that you are loved, that you are chosen, that you are adopted into a family, that you belong to a body, that you have an inheritance that will not ever pass away. That's good news, especially in light of the financial markets today. Hallelujah. You know what? You don't have to worry about the banks, because in heaven, the inheritance that you have in heaven is amazing. It's amazing. And he goes on about who you are in Christ. But here's what he says. He says, listen, you know, leaders are given to equip the church, to build the church up, to continue to bring forth your faith, to grow you in faith and in your knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. And he goes there and he says, so that you will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. God's wanting to develop something in us so that there is a strength in that aspect of agreement, that we are able to see what God wants to do in your school system, what God wants to do in your government, what God wants to do in businesses across this city. See, Jesus Christ wants to do some things. He wants to invade into the culture that we live in. And you know who he's working through to do that? The church. And you know who the church is. Now, it'd be easy to look at your neighbor and say, it's you. But see, you need to look at your neighbor and say, well, it's us. It's us. This is about us. This is about... See, because he's building something that he is causing that will penetrate hell's gates. Yeah. See, sometimes it's like, well, you know, it's just so overwhelming what's going on and things are so bad. I hear it all the time. Hear it all the time. Well, it depends on how much news you listen to. You know, that whatever you're watching, listening, that has an off button. Yep. Hallelujah. You know, some people say, well, they're just stuck in front of that TV. Oh, my. Well, see, because you get squeezed into the thinking, into the mindset, into the mentality of the world when you listen to what they're saying all the time. If we were to compare how much time I spend listening to what God's saying and how much I'm listening to what the world's saying, what do you think? Huh? Well, I went to service on Sunday morning. Hallelujah. Oh, man, the preacher's long-winded. Man, he preached for 40 minutes. You see, but it's like, but how many times you sat and listened to somebody talking on the newscast for an hour and didn't think anything about it? Didn't even think a thing about it. And do you understand everything that they were saying is feeding into your brain and trying to tell you something, whether it's true or not, whether it's real or not. And do you notice that most of the news, it's not like, good news, great, guess what? It's like, it's always about things that are bad and wrong and negative. And it's like, see, the devil wants to mess with your head to try to pull you down. Now, listen, I'm not about against listening to the news once in a while, but I'm just saying, you see, what we give ourselves to is going to develop who we are. Right. What you listen to is going to develop what you believe. And what you believe is going to develop what you live, what you're living out. And sometimes, like, man, my life is so hard. It's so down and we're so discouraged with it. Well, here's a question. What are you listening to? Even at work, You know, it's amazing to me how many times just in the break rooms or wherever it is, and it's like you talk and the first thing we're talking about is how bad the government is or how bad the finances are or how high the prices are. It's easy. We can just go right there, can't you? We can just focus on that which is the negative and allow ourselves to believe that that is directing and controlling our life because of how bad things are. But do you understand? Jesus is building a church that is not controlled by the world around them, but that is controlled from heaven. It's controlled by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It is the Holy Spirit at work in a people to make them who he says they are. And he is calling them out to have an influence. So when you're listening to a news report and you say, well, that's what they say, but God. See, sometimes there's a difference between the real and what's true. It's easy to focus on something and say, well, this is really true. That's like that scripture there in Ephesians says, speaking the truth in love. You know, a lot of the church, you know how they interpret that? Well, I'm just going to give you the honest truth here. Speak the truth in love. I really love you, but you're a jerk. You know? Because you did this to me. You know, I mean, sometimes we think that's speaking the truth in love. That's not what he's talking about. See? What he's talking about is you need to speak the truth of what God says rather than how you're feeling right now. Because you may feel like they're a jerk, but God says, no, I created them in my image and I'm working in their life. Did you hear me?
Yes.
See, we're frustrated, we're angry, we're irritated with the situation or with that person, but God's still saying, no, I'm working through this right now. This irritation that's going on in your heart right now is what I'm working through to bring about a shift between you and that person. Here, you know, the scripture says, let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Well, see, it doesn't say that you deny that you're poor or that you're weak. It doesn't say that you deny it. It's real. I am flat broke. That can be very real. But it's not the truth. You say, well, it's true right now. No, it's real. Say, it's real. It's real right now. I really am broke. But the truth is that in Christ, he has provision for me that I don't even know about yet. You see? See, Jesus has provision for us in ways that we don't even understand. And see, sometimes it's like, man, I'm so weak. I'm sick. I'm working through that. I remember there's some of the different ones that say, well, don't confess that you're sick. Well, where's that in the scripture? It's not in there. See? But it's real. Okay, really. Yeah, I've been fighting some crud this week. All right, that's real. Maybe you're struggling with some heaviness of heart. Maybe you're going through some stuff. There's physical stuff going on. Well, we don't deny it. But here's the thing. That's not where I'm staying. Because in Christ, there's a higher truth. And so when we talk about the church, you have to understand that there's a higher truth that God's taking us into. See, when he says, listen, you are my beloved. You are my beloved. Now, I won't ask for a show of hands, but see, some of us are like, yeah, well, everybody else, maybe he loves everybody else. I don't know if he loves me or not. Or there's some of us on the other side, well, sure, I'm his beloved. I don't know about all your other guys. I don't know how he puts up with you, but he loves me. That's kind of how John was, you know. He writes the Gospel of John, and three times he says, the disciple who Jesus loved. Oh, like he didn't love everybody else? It's interesting. John wrote it about himself, you know, in his own gospel. It works when you write your own book. Jesus is building his church. He's the head of his church. But you have to understand, we don't deny the real, but we declare the truth. And I begin to declare, no, in Christ, I have his wisdom. I have knowledge on what to do in this situation, even though I don't have it yet. It's coming. Why? Because that's the truth. That's who Jesus Christ is in my life. That's who he is in me. But the real, okay, I'm having to walk through that. No question about it. But the truth continues to take me higher. Why? Because he's building something. Let me get on with this and just say, it's a mystery. Jesus Christ and his church is a mystery. We look at it and say, well, we're gathered here, this is church, and so on and so forth. But you understand, Jesus Christ is working in every one of our hearts and lives in a powerful way. And what he's doing in you complements that what he's doing in your spouse, in your family, in the wider family, and those that you're connected with here in Ordinary Faith. You understand that it's involving all of that, and it's a mystery. And Ephesians 5:32 says this, "This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way that Christ and the church are one." Jesus and the church are one. That's why he says he's the head of the body. He's the head of the church. He is directing and guiding and giving insight. Now, how many of you know? Okay, our head can tell us one thing and our body can do something else. Your head is telling you it's pitch black, you get up to go to the restroom, and your head tells you, turn on the light. And your body says, no, I know my way. But the head is saying, no, turn on the light. And about that time, you literally kick into and smash your toe in that thing that was left on the floor that you forgot to pick up the night before. And then the body is going, why didn't you turn on the light? Well, your head's going, I told you. Turn on the light. Well, see, Jesus is the head. We're the body. We're the body. And sometimes we don't respond real good to the head. And the head is saying, Jesus is saying, listen, this is who you are. This is what we're doing. And sometimes we don't respond to that because it's like, no, I know what I'm doing. You ever had that? I mean, I can't count the times. Turn on the light. Oh, I know my way. I mean, come on. Or you wives will love this. You and your husband driving. Now, you don't do it so much anymore because your phone, you pull up GPS. But in the old days, when you had to use maps, you know, you'd be driving along and the husband would say, oh, I know how to get there. Now, wife's going, well, why are we 10 minutes later than we were and we're still not there? Can you just stop and ask somebody? Oh, I know how to get there. You ever heard that? I know how to get there. I know where we're at. And so on. And finally they say, oh, I better stop and ask somebody. Right? See, because sometimes now, in that sense, you see, the wife is, when he says, the husband is the head of the wife. Well, the wife is the one that turns the head. You know? That's like, you should have listened to me. Jesus, sometimes Jesus is speaking, he's saying, listen, this is who you are. See, it's a mystery. I mean, how Jesus birthed the church and he brings us together and we're so different, we're so unique, and sometimes he puts us with people that just rub us wrong. You ever been there? I mean, they just irritate us. And it's like, I know they love Jesus, I think. I don't know if they love. I mean, they say they do, but I don't know. You know what I mean? And it's like, but God is using all those unique situations. Can you imagine hanging out with the disciples and you got Peter? Wow. This guy was explosive all the time. And then you got Simon the Zealot. I don't know if you ever, some of you watching The Chosen, I mean, Such a great, great movie, great story. But here's the thing, it's a mystery how God puts all that together and makes it all work together. It goes on there, and he talks about this in Ephesians chapter 5, and he says, listen, just as Christ loved the church, excuse me, and gave himself his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word, he did this present her to himself as a glorious church, without spot or wrinkle or any blemish. Instead, she will be holy without fault. No one hates his own body, but feeds it and cares for it, just like, say, just like, just like Christ takes care of the church. So Jesus is providing things for us, and many times we're not receiving. We're not picking up on what he's doing. It's interesting when he says, listen, he's going to make her holy and clean. Woohoo! Don't you look around at each other and just say, well, he's got some work to do there. Washing them by the water of the word, presenting them to himself a glorious church. But then he says, without spot or wrinkle. I love this. Without spot or wrinkle. Well, you know how you get spots and wrinkles out, right? Come on, ladies. You get spots and wrinkles out. Well, you get spots out, right? You put a little ammonia on them, and you put a little bit of soap on them, you scrub them, you do whatever, right? I mean, you, come on. You know, you have to get the spot out. And then, of course, getting wrinkles out, that's always fun, isn't it? Huh? They don't do it so much anymore. You know, you have to, it's kind of, well, I can't get into that, but it's kind of like now you get fabric that doesn't need ironing at all, right? But used to be in the day, you'd have to iron your shirts if you wanted to wear them and didn't want to look like a hobo, you know? And so, and an iron is an interesting unit, you know? I mean, my grandmother, I watched her iron, and her iron was, she set it on the wood stove on a plate, and it got warm, and then she'd pull it over there and iron. And my mom used to love to iron. And of course, with ironing, you know, you have to have a little bit of heat and apply a little bit of pressure. Yes, you guys got it. Isn't it interesting that Jesus says, I'm going to remove wrinkles and spots. Yee-hoo! Heat and pressure. Don't we love it? That person just rubs me the wrong way. Well, that's called sandpaper. They're there for a purpose. And he's getting the wrinkles out of you. It's the church. They say, well, I don't like this one. I'm going to go find one I like. Well, you probably won't like it once you get there. And the common denominator would be you. Amazes me. You know, this church, they just don't understand. And there's all kinds of reasons. I won't get into all that. But the thing is that you understand, I mean, there's no perfect one on the planet. And wherever you go, God loves you so much, he's going to wash the spots and iron the wrinkles. Because he's making you holy and blameless. Hallelujah. But understand, it's so good because it's not just an individual, it's us together. Well, I better hasten on here. Here we go. We'll find something we like. So, don't even know what page I'm on. Uh-oh, you guys are in real trouble. Here's the thing, God wants to just establish us. So I want to just close by saying this. His church is glorious. His church is glorious. And it's like sometimes, like I say, the heat and pressure we don't like. The scrubbing and the soap, oh, doesn't they just get in your mouth and make you mad? Huh? You know, I used to laugh, you know, when kids would cuss, they'd wash their mouth out with soap. I won't ask for a show of hands if anybody's had that happen or not. But some of us had. had that happen, you know. I mean, got her mouth washed out with soap. And, but, you know, because it's like, yeah, that aspect of washing out the spots. Jesus Christ loves you so much that he's not going to leave you where you were. You see, his glory is to establish us together. And that means that every one of us, he's working in every one of your lives to establish us together. Here's what it says in Ephesians 3:20. It says, now all glory to God who is able through his mighty power at work within us. Say within us. See, his mighty power is at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ask or imagine. How much more can God do in ordinary faith? How much more can he do in Rock Springs through ordinary faith? How much more does he want to do through his church in Rock Springs? See? In fact, you've got a picnic coming up here, and Pastor Steve mentioned it, and several churches from around the city are going to get together and have a great time. That's an awesome time. And God's wanting to do it more and more, that the church would really come together and believe for each other. See, not that we're, checking out the other church. No, we're brothers and sisters together. Listen, if you're planted here, stay planted. It's hard to grow fruit when you pick up your roots and move from one place to the other. Get planted and grow and develop something that God's doing on the whole. Understand that. Find the place where he's put you and then let the church blossom. It is glorious. And he says, I want to do more than you imagine. Isn't that good? He wants to do more than you imagine. And so he says, the gates of hell will not resist the onslaught of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because gates don't move. Gates are made to be penetrated and gone through. And Jesus says, listen, we're going to take out the gates of hell. So your school board situation, your schools, your businesses, your college, your whatever is going on, that area that Satan has invaded it, Jesus Christ wants the church to invade. It moves it. It goes forward in it. And so I want to encourage you. In Christ, we can do all things. In Christ, he is willing to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. So what is he doing in your life? I urge you today, even as Pastor Michael talked to you last week or a couple weeks ago, about staying focused, about staying in presence, about coming in and giving yourself. Here's what happens. When he birthed the church, they devoted themselves. Make a decision. Make a decision. Take a step. Make a decision. I'm going to spend some time with him and let him work this in me. It's a glorious church. It's going to be amazing. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Worship team is going to come. Let me pray for you. So, Lord Jesus, I just thank you for what you're building in Rock Springs, Wyoming. I thank you for what you're building in ordinary faith. I thank you, Jesus, that you are established in every believer, your presence, your love for them, your acceptance of them, your promise that you're never going to leave them. And as you promise that, Lord Jesus, that you would secure them in yourself, them in you and you in them, and that you would bring forth your good pleasure through that. And we will thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. There'll be prayer available. I'll let you take it from there.
No, yeah. Someone asked me to give that to you.
Thank you.
As Dave just pointed out, we're going to have some people over here at the prayer tables. And if you would like some prayer today for you, come. Being part of the family, being part of the church, is calling on the name of Jesus. That's how we get there. And when we're getting ironed and when we're getting heat and pressure applied, calling on the name of Jesus is what gets us through. So stand with us as we sing to close our service today.